When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Let Me Tell You. Now, here's Joan Hamburg.
I'm really happy that you're joining me on Let Me Tell You, our original podcast. So put your seatbelts on because we're going to Tokyo and the Olympics, which are about to open. And what's it like in Tokyo? I understand it is truly desolate, deserted. People are not on the streets. They're not in the restaurants. They're certainly not watching the games. They're home. They're sheltering in place. And we have, actually, he's a guy that I know, and he's covered the Olympics for over 16 years for Sports Illustrated. And he's going to take us on his journey and take us to some of the big stars, the joy, the heartbreak, and what's really going on there. And don't forget that if some of these wonderful athletes have tested positive, which so many have in the last week since they've arrived or came with it, they may never do it again. There may never be an opportunity again. So it's a story of achievement, of joy, and of heartache. And by the way, don't forget to listen to the Joan Hamburg Show every Sunday right here on WABC Radio, 2 o'clock. We have great guests for you and wonderful topics. We do features that are very popular, and we love the fact that you're a part of it. So come on along. Come on to Tokyo with us today. Enjoy the Joan Hamburg Show. By the way, that show is podcast too. See you on the radio. Stay tuned. Well, the Olympics are upon us, and we've been getting like lots of weird news. So I thought it would be interesting to reach out to someone I know who's covered at least 16 Olympics and consulting with Sports Illustrated, and that's why he's there. And I thought it'd be something we're all interested in. Richard DeMack is right on the scene, and this is a very unusual Olympics. First of all, there are different sporting competitions, different ones than there have ever been before. There are at least 34 different sports, and a lot of the stars now are testing positive. I was telling Richard that the news here was basically about the crummy beds, is sort of funny. So from your perspective, you've covered so many of them. Do you sense a difference this year, the impact of the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I have done a lot of them, and I will say that they're all different and all the same in some ways, but all different. And we're always worried about something going in. In Athens and Salt Lake City in 2002, we were worried about terrorism. And in Sochi, we were worried about war. And in Rio 5 years ago, we were worried about Zika. We're always worried about something. But nothing like this, and nothing that's, precipitated zero spectators in the stands or precluded athletes from mingling, right? So the scenes you're used to seeing from the Olympics, what makes the Olympics different than other sporting competitions is that you have athletes, you have Mongolian archers having lunch with Ukrainian fencers, and none of that is going to happen here because they're all going to be separated for the entire Olympics. They're going to only be here for the duration of their competition. And so the great mingling of the world's athletes isn't going to happen. And that's what makes the Olympics special. And that's what's going to be missing here. But the one thing I want to say is, as bad as it is for spectators, as bad as it is for, athletes' families, it's worse for the people in Japan.
In what way, Richard? Why? Because
Yeah. There, you know, there were some U.S. cities were, you know, several months ago. They're under state of emergency. I went out this morning from my hotel, and this is Tokyo, one of the world's great cities, really is, you know, and it's spectacular in many ways, including the venues here are spectacular. But the streets are deserted. Everybody's boarded up in their homes.
They're afraid.
People are not shopping. They're not eating in restaurants. They're not going to work, much less going to, you know, be spectators at Olympics that they've waited 5 years for to watch their hometown athletes. So it's different for sure.
But Richard, in New York, as you know, Richard, by the way, is in Tokyo, of course, in New York, people are acting as if it's over. And yet every day there are dire stories about the Delta variation. And we have a big increase in hospitalization, in people being diagnosed. And yet, fa-la-la, you know, you can't see a mask practically on anyone. But you're describing a Tokyo that still is in lockdown. Have they had an increase in cases, or is this just precaution?
Oh, no, they've really struggled. Japan early on was ahead in testing, ahead of the curve in testing, but they were way behind in vaccination. And why that is, I don't know. I suspect a lot of people don't know, including Japanese, but they were behind in vaccinations, and they're still behind in vaccinations. And that's why they're under this state of emergency, because their numbers were up in June, and they're still up.
Uh-huh. And what about, like, we heard that a large number of people involved with gymnastics, not necessarily, you know, the stars, but the substitutes, the alternates, people are testing positive. So what's the deal with that? Are they automatically out, or are they quarantined?
Well, both. They're quarantined for a length of time that precludes them from competing. So they're out, you know, essentially. The numbers of athletes who have tested positive is not unexpected, I would say. It's what you would think based on the general population. And keep in mind, these are athletes from all over the world where not everybody is vaccinated. So the numbers are not so shocking among the athlete population, I would say. It's kind of what you would expect. The thing I wanted to mention, though, is so part of the reason we have these games is so the athletes get to compete in these Olympics. And that's their Olympic dream. And that's why we don't cancel the games in part, right? So the punishment, though, for these athletes is the ones who test positive, they're going to miss this, right? And the next games isn't going to be for four more years.
Right.
So this will end the Olympic career of many of these athletes. These, I'm not a virologist, I'm not an epidemiologist, but these athletes are asymptomatic. Many of them, I presume almost all of them, have tested positive, are vaccinated.
Yeah, it's sort of scary.
There's very... my understanding is there's very little chance of them transmitting the virus. But when they test positive from this very sensitive test that doesn't separate between someone with a large viral load and someone with a very infinitesimal viral load, they're going to be quarantined the same way, and they're going to miss their Olympics. And their Olympic career is over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
But is it hard for you to get good stories? I mean, you've always had fabulous stuff in the past Olympics, but... how do you deal and get stories when everyone is so scared of being exposed to anything?
Yeah, it's for sure a problem. But here's the thing I will say is, and yes, we have confronted various problems throughout at various other Olympics. The athletes always save the games. The politics, the risk of terrorism, the greed, the bribery, the drug, you know, even disease before Zika and other things, not this one. But it's the athletes and their stories that make the Olympics different from everything else, right? There is nothing else like it. And the stories from all over the world, from athletes all over, and they're still here. And what you're going to watch at home when you're watching NBC is the athletes and their stories. And they're still great. And they're still going to be able to tell their stories. And we work really hard to get those stories and tell them. But you know what? It's not that hard at the Olympics because there's so many of them.
Right. What are some of the stories that are fun to listen to that you're working on or dealing with or whom you've met?
Right. Well, the thing is, you know, there are always stars going in. People know them every 4 years, right? Like Simone Biles, people know now, the greatest gymnast of all time. They don't know her, you know, in between Olympics, right? Gymnastics
right.
is not a sport. Between the Olympics.
Yeah, you don't go every week like basketball.
Yeah, but there's Biles. There's Katie Ledecky, the greatest female swimmer of all time, you know. Caleb Dressel is, I believe, here with a boatload of medals out of the pool. Naomi Osaka is a Japanese hero here. It'd be very interesting to see what she does in tennis. A lot of pressure on her, but she's revered here. There are stories in every sport. Just tonight, they have the draw for the Taekwondo, and the first and one of the first round matchups is an Iranian athlete who will face an Iranian defector who's competing for the refugee
team. Oh, what a story.
Right. I mean, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't happen at any other event on Earth.
Hmm. Absolutely. So when you get, I take it, you guys are allowed into the events to watch them? Or do you have to go to TV?
No, we're allowed to go to events. It's a bit more restricted than it usually is. You can't, they're not putting as many reporters in the same space as they usually do, but you can go to every event. You can have somebody from your organization go to whatever event you want to.
Okay. And when it comes to swimming, Michael Phelps, is he around? Is he competing this year?
He's not competing. He is working for NBC, I believe, so you'll be able to hear him, but you won't be able to watch him swim.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's had enough. How many more medals can a guy win, right?
Right. He's going to give someone else a chance this year.
And some of the new events, like, well, not stuff I'm interested in, like surfing, karate, sports climbing.
Right.
What? How come?
Skateboard.
Skateboard. Well, skateboard is sort of fun to watch.
It is fun. I have to say, you know, the IOC has been criticized for pandering to youth by just going after any sport they can that they think will capture people under 25 years old. But, you know, surfing is a great sport. And as you say, skateboarding is really fun. And these are fantastic athletes. And I'm really curious to see what they're like.
All right. So you've got your eye on a whole bunch of stories and things that we all care about. I mean, the thing is, I love, for us, we can just curl up at home and watch them and get the same thrills. The time difference, you're 12 hours, right?
Are 13.
So that's a big difference. So what are they going to do? Put most of the main events on in the morning?
They've, in swimming, for example, they flipped the schedule. So normally swim finals are in the evening and swim prelims are in the morning, and they flipped it around. So the finals are going to be in the morning here so that you'll be able to see them in the evening in prime time in the United States, in the Eastern time zone.
Okay, and are the most popular things still track and field and gymnastics?
You know, for Americans, it's track and field, gymnastics, swimming, and then I would say women's soccer and men's and women's basketball, probably. But, you know, the Americans are going to be great in water, in women's water polo again, and in softball.
Volleyball.
There are Americans who are good in a lot of sports. We don't pay attention to them very much between Olympics, but we should now.
What happened to the redheaded track star who they found marijuana? Do you know?
Yeah, Sha'Carri Richardson is not competing, and she could have been selected for, she was prohibited from competing in the 100 meters because her victory was annulled, but she could have been picked for the 4x100-meter relay team, and they did not select her, so she's not here.
I felt so sorry for her, and then I thought, I know she was mourning a loss in her family, but she's an athlete, she's a competitor, how stupid. You know, knowing that you get tested. It was like a death wish.
You know, you can't, I don't think, help but feel sympathy for her and applaud her for because a lot of athletes don't do that. A lot of people don't do that. But, you know, there are rules, right? And every athlete competes knowing those rules. And you know, we criticize the governing bodies all the time, and you can argue whether marijuana should or should not be on the ban list. But the fact is, it is on the ban list. at the moment, and everybody knows it's on the ban list.
And she knows, too.
If you use something that's on the ban list, there are consequences. And it's really not for the governing body, is not in the business of deciding why someone used
exactly.
it or didn't use it.
That's right. The rules are the rules as long as they're in place.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Richard. We look forward to reading your stories in Sports Illustrated. Enjoy it, and
we'll talk
to you again. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye, honey. Richard Dimack, who's covering this for Sports Illustrated, has covered at least 16 Olympics. And as you heard, this one is really different.